Have you ever looked at a bio and just been blown away by the depths of this person's story, their rap sheet, the things you would never know unless you went digging for details? And I'm sure there's a lot more digging I could do, but this bio of today's guest, David Leonard, he is wild. It's wild what he's accomplished and what doors the Lord has opened in his life and the grace and the goodness that's been over top of it. And yes, there's been heartaches and heartbreaks, and we get to hear about some of them in today's show. But I got connected to David after winning a text opportunity at a concert at Kane this past weekend, or at least the past weekend that I was recording this episode. And, you know, instead of going to the table and getting merch, I got a podcast, a time with him. And I'm so grateful for that. I'm just so grateful for his truth-telling and his storytelling. And, you know, it's cool. I could talk to you about Brandon Lake and Cody Carnes and Need to Breathe, and that he's a Grammy-nominated artist, and he's a GMA Dev Award winning producer, and he's got albums and songs that are hit lists and just so much connection. But what I loved most about this share was what he did by going back and reminiscing on where he started. And I hope we take that beat today. I hope we take that nod today to say, go back to where and who you used to be. Go back to those dwelling places and see how far the Lord has brought you, but also let it reveal to you the people that are still in that space, that need your love, that need your attention, that need your talent, that you can change history by showing up in said spaces. I am so ignited by what he's doing and what they as a collective, Kane and Katie, are doing on this tour. And I hope that you get tickets to go check them out somewhere. They're on tour for a few more months. It's gonna bless your life. It's gonna change your mind on music and worship music and so much more. David, you're incredible. We're so grateful to have you on the show today. I pray that you guys would just go out and bless him with your prayers. And you'll hear about exactly what those prayers are gonna be at the end of this show. So my prayer warriors, will you link arms with me? Will you cover my friend, my new friend, David Leonard? Y'all, what a blessing this was. I know that it's gonna bless your life. Tune in, enjoy, and get on the road so you can meet them too. Listen up. For such a time as this, we must grow our faith and business muscles. The self-help industry is trying to own spirituality and well-being. The entrepreneurial space is becoming flooded with business pursuits focused on success instead of sustenance. But the only one who can make us fully whole, fully free, and fully alive is Jesus. So I'm ecstatic you walked into this hypothetical gym today. I'm your trainer, Tamara Andress, also coined an entrepreneurial rabbi, teaching the pursuits of God, which unveil our purpose and ultimately unleash our desired provision. This FIT acronym is for founders, innovators, and trailblazers. Here, marketplace ministers conversate and educate to build others from the inside out while also sharing their testimonies of endurance. So while it's not a fitness podcast, I do surely care about your mental, physical, emotional, relational, financial, and spiritual health. You're going to hear all about it. If you're passionate about your becoming journey, leading others to greatness, and living a life of abundance and joy, then you're well on your way to being fit in faith. Let's hydrate. What is up, everyone? So pumped to be with the one and only David Leonard today. And this is the second time I've got to hang out with him this week, but it's the first time he knows that I'm there. So I'm really glad that we can hang out today, brother. And I can't wait to introduce you to my community.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm bummed that we didn't get to hang the other night.
I know, y'all. This is such a cool concept. Like, I was at the Kane, or the band Kane, and listening to Katie and David throughout the night, not having any idea that I had won the contest. He was just, you know, doing the thing that you're supposed to do, like grow your following, you know, get that extra social media like here and there. And I always, with that opportunity, want to extend that extra level of just of note and nod and be like, man, brother, I loved the way you showed up. I loved the way you shared what the Lord had on your heart in that moment. And it was such a blessing. We were talking afterwards about the level of authenticity, the humor connected to the entire night, the fun, the playfulness. It was a worship night. It was a concert. It was all these things in one. And it started with you taking the stage and being that light. And so if you guys don't know who David Leonard is, you're about to find out more in depth than you could ever find out just through the sound waves of Spotify or Amazon Music or even the stage on the Grammys. But I just want to say thank you again. And I wish that I got to hug your neck and embrace you and say thanks in person, but this will do.
Yeah, this is awesome. I'm obviously honored to be on here with you today. And yeah, the nights have been really, really special. You know, you never know coming into these things, what it's going to be like. And if we're all going to gel, if, you know, what the spirit's going to be like in each room. And every night's been so, so special. And I'm honored to be out here.
Yeah, it really was something that I've never experienced before at any genre of event. And I've gone to it all, right? Like I've sat in church, I've been on the stage side of church, I've spoken, I've been in front row, I've been back row, I've been in the tech sound elements. And watching you all, it really did feel like you guys have been together for a long, long time. And that's the good Lord above, right? And yeah, knowing that, but also allowing yourselves to kind of like free flow through that atmosphere. I would love to just dive in. We can start there and start with the synchronicity that's taking place right now, because I know you guys have a huge tour ahead of you and people are going to get to hear about that. So having an invitation to come out and see you guys live, but then I want to go and hit that backstory a bit too.
Yeah.
So what was the yes like? How did you guys decide to come together for this?
Man, I mean, I have had the opportunity to work with Kane on their records. I wrote and got to produce a couple songs on their first record. And then they just did the live project, which me and a buddy, Jonathan Smith and Brad King, we all got to produce it. And so I get to, and me and Logan play in a softball league together. You know, it's like, so we're doing a lot of life
so
together.
Fun.
And then kind of the same with Katie, you know, I got to write with her on her record and produce on hers. And so it's like, we're all just kind of friends. And when the opportunity came up, it was a no-brainer. It's like, hey, do you want an opportunity to go on the road with your friends and make music? And it's like, yes.
Yes, I do.
Obviously,
yes,
I do.
That's so awesome. Now, their families with them. Is your family with you?
They're not. My wife teaches high school.
Oh, cool.
Teaches U.S. history and coaches cheerleading and does all that kind of stuff. And so she's back home. And I have two girls, an 11-year-old and a 4-year-old. And
awesome.
She's neck deep in it at home. So
she
they don't get to come out as often.
That's awesome though. Like, and to know that you have that back force. I was just talking to another entrepreneur and he was talking about how he doesn't have that family. And so when he goes out to do said adventure, he always feels like it's a little isolating, even more isolating and lonely because he comes home to nothing. And so to know that your family is at the tailwind and like really cheering you on in the process, it makes it so much more comforting, even when it could feel isolating when you're on the road.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think just having support when I call home and everybody's just, you know, cheering me on, but at the same time wishing that I was home. So that,
yes,
you know, there's a million mixed emotions that go with it, but
yeah,
very thankful.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to chat a bit because you've been in this industry for so long. I mean, you've been playing on stages. I'm sure even before in your bio, it mentions that you started at your dad's college when you were like 15. But were you always a songwriter? That actually is the part that ignites me most. Like, I love a musician. I love a good sound, but it's the writing of the words that really gets me excited.
I didn't start playing. I was like, grew up in a little small town in Arkansas. Nobody did music. Like, everybody, you know, you just did sports. Like, everybody did sports. So I grew up being a sports kid, always playing football and baseball. And I remember picking up the guitar at 15. And I don't know, like, writing was kind of the natural thing. I didn't know that I wasn't supposed to be writing. I think it was just, hey, I'm playing a guitar now. I might as well sing songs.
Yeah, got to put some words together.
Yeah. Got to put some words to it. And now, was I a good writer? No. No, there's no chance that I was a good writer. But I enjoyed it. We'll just say that. God bless him.
So at what point did you feel like there was that more organic flow to be able to string the things together? Because, I mean, you've been a part of some brilliant projects and duos and trios and bands and so many things.
I mean, I think, I don't know. I think I'm still trying to figure it out. I think there's just moments that you kind of, it's just like jumping in a river. Like you jump in and you get to float for a bit, and then you hop out and you have to walk. And then sometimes you get to jump back in. And I feel like I've had the honor of getting to jump in the river a few times and got to float on some really beautiful things. And I think it's just being open, being like keeping your eyes open of where God is moving and where God's moving you, especially in your heart. And just being really honest. That's all I've known how to do. Is just write songs that I feel like are honest. I feel like I walked through a lot of seasons where I just wrote faceless songs that I didn't know anything about.
Yeah.
And I think once I figured out that, hey, like people connect to things that are real, I think that was a big moment for me of going, hey, like you don't need to write stuff that you don't know about. Like just write about the stuff that's happening. And I think that was kind of a game changer for me of just allowing myself to be me and seeing where it goes.
That's so beautiful. And it feels so much simpler when you say it that way too, because it's not a forced facade. And I remember living so much of my life in what I kind of refer to as that masked version of myself. It was like the version that I thought people needed me to be, who I thought I had become. And it was distracting all the time. Like there was never a point where I could feel like, you know, the mask from Jim Carrey. Like if I was to take this thing off at some point, it just kind of stayed there. And I'm like, I guess this is as good as it gets. And it really wasn't until I had a supernatural encounter with the Lord in my living room where I had that revelation, and he literally told me, I see you, I know you. And the word that always gets me is, and I still love you. Because even in my imperfections and in my striving and in my people pleasing and all those things, like God is higher. His ways are better. His anointing over your life, his plan for your life is so much bigger. And it really comes down to that submission and like yielding to the Holy Spirit, even with the things that we say.
Yeah. Ooh, I'm challenged by it right now. Come on. You're saying these things.
Let's go.
Oh my gosh. I'm like, I'm going to use this tonight. I'm saying this tonight.
Let's go. It's all yours, brother. Thanks. You know, I think everybody has it. It's how do they proclaim it? How do they share it? How do they testify with it? And like I said, words do matter. And it's not the jingle it might settle in people's mind, but what settles in their soul is that element of truth. It's beautiful when you even stripped back some of the songs that had created and earned, I guess, momentum or top whatever list. And you were like, you know, we got to go back to the raw. We got to go back to the real. Like, Tamara, you got to take off the mask and learn what it feels like to be naked and afraid and allow my power to precede you versus what you've created.
Yeah.
Are you always in the midst of writing a song, I wonder?
Probably more than I'm aware of that I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a constant movie that's playing in the back of my head. Mm. You know, I'm always piecing together words or piecing together ideas or thoughts. And I co-write a lot. So I write with a lot of different people. So I think through the years it's caused me to not write as much by myself, because I'm like, oh, well, I'll just get with some people and we'll do this together.
Yeah.
But there is the constant thing that's kind of going on, and it's always turning.
I like the camaraderie concept of writing with people. When you're like in that space and in that zone, is there like a set atmosphere? Is it always different? Is there something that you got to have that like, okay, I'm ready now? I'm so curious.
Oh man. I mean, I'm a vibe guy. Like the vibe's got to be right. So I'm lighting candles and burning incense. And
yes.
Like all the things. I don't know. I have to be fully comfortable and like feeling a creative. I'm so much, everything's visual to me, you know? Yeah. I tend to try to to create environments that people feel safe in, people feel creative in. Like, this room is the total opposite of anything creative to me.
You always got like stacks of Debbie's in the back and ramen. We were laughing. I said, I hope that that's not their food pantry. If it is, thank you. And they are blessed. However, we need to talk about the nutritional aspect of what's going on.
Yeah, I'll give you the name and the address of the church here later on. You can give them a personal call.
Yeah, we'll get their nutritional supplements sent in for the local community. But yeah, I'm very much the same. But I, honestly, even I've thought about this so many times. Like, I want to write, and I write poetry all the time, which technically poetry is music. But I do it in the shower. I'll like put on voice record and I'm like, let's go, Lord, what do you got for me today? And then I never do anything with it. It's just like sitting on my phone. But I'm not a vocalist and I'm not a musician. I am a worshiper through and through. And I actually went to a year-long worship school. It's called Burn 24/7. Sean Foyt was kind of out of that. David Fritch was out of that. And when I went in there, one of the first questions are like, so what do you do? Right. Just like in business, what do you do? And I'm like, everyone, I play the harp. I play the piano. I play the guitar. And I was like, ooh, I think I'm in the wrong room. And it wasn't until the end of the year where I realized like an element of that is the fluidity of words. It's the flow of movement and like worship and dance and how the way that we live is worship. The way that we live is music to God's ears. And so I had this whole new awakening. And this was just like literally right after that experience I told you about in the living room. That was that moment where I was like, oh, wow, I need to live my life for the Lord. And he got a hold of my heart at that point. Okay, so this is kind of weird to be promoting a podcast on a podcast, and it's not my podcast, and it's not a friend's podcast, though you are my friend. It's your podcast. You want a slot, right? You want to be heard. You want to amplify your voice because you too have an incredible message to share with the world. And this is the coolest part. It is with the world. It's with the nations. And that's exactly what we're told to do. Go and tell. Go and make disciples of nations. And podcasting is a way to do that. So if you are ready to finally press play on this idea, the best way to do it, instead of chasing down the YouTube degree that you can surely get on these areas, or chasing down all the podcasters that you know and piecemealing your own way through, is to come to a 2.5-day experience, a retreat actually, with our Fit Media team, who has been doing this for quite a while, 5 years in fact. And we've launched over 40 podcasts at this point. And it's pretty dynamic, the methodology in which we've cracked the code around to allow you to not only come just with an idea, but to leave with a fully equipped, fully available, yes, it's live and in action with 2.5 days podcast that the whole world has access to. We're gonna do recording, we're gonna do photo shoot for your cover, we're gonna create designs and media, we're gonna talk about how do you use this in your business strategy. I mean, the list goes on, and you will not be left alone afterwards because you get access to a full portal of teaching around it for any of the additional questions that you may need. So you need to get your butt in the seat, all right? Really, get your booty into the experience and go to the website, check out and apply. All the things that you need are there, and we cannot wait to welcome you there. It'll be in Virginia Beach, Virginia, and that's my hometown. That's a lot of our team's hometown, and so we're excited to welcome you here, our home. Flights and accommodations are not included, but everything else is 100% taken care of, and you're gonna have more than your fair share of ROI on this dynamic experience, I can assure you, and you can check out the reviews to prove it. Anyway, love you guys. Thanks for tuning in to the Fit and Faith podcast. I can't wait to hear what your title's gonna be. And so I encourage people who are like anti-worship music, which I don't know if you can be that, but people are, or anti-Christian music, right? Yeah. They're like, oh, I'm a Christian, but I don't listen to that stuff. How do you encourage them to like see through a different lens and know that like there's a tune, there's a play? I mean, I listen to KB, I listen to Zonti, I listen to a lot of really rad artists as well. How do you encourage them to move into worship, especially when you have crowds upon crowds doing it at one time?
Yeah, I mean, I think I struggled with a lot of that early on. I think you move to town and you're like, oh, I'm gonna do something different. I'm gonna change Christian music or whatever, because it's always had the stigma of being a little bit behind, and
Right.
it's always playing catch up. And I think I remember the moment. I was at a Casting Crown show, and we were there, and we were in this arena, and it was like, oh, why is everybody into this? What is this about? And I love the guys in Casting Crowns. They're
Yeah.
amazing people. But I remember sitting there in that arena, and I remember them start to play, and I saw the people start to worship, and I saw people that wouldn't connect with what I was doing start to engage with God. And I was like, immediately my brain just shifted of going, hey, we are all connected to the vine, but there are so many branches, and we're just ignorant if we think that what we do is the thing. And we have to be, champions of all things who are pointing towards the cross. And in that moment, I fell in love with seeing people connect with God and seeing people worship. And so I try to challenge people in that all the time, going, hey, if you feel like it's not for you, it's okay. It might not be, but I guarantee you it's for somebody, and somebody's connecting with it. And so we're just trying to encourage the buildup of the church and the buildup of all people doing things. And it's a really special community.
That's incredible. I love the visual that you just gave me. And understanding too that there's obviously the antithesis of that. There's so many different genres of music that are not connected to the vine, and they're actually guiding people into whatever it is that they're singing about. And that was a huge part of my story. Like, I grew up on country music, Reba McEntire and Garth Brooks and all them, and amazing artists, right? Like Dolly Parton, great. Their voices are incredible. And Dolly's got some good stuff on the tracks now. But I, for a long time, thought that that music would become, and it did actually become my life. And whether it was the drinking or the way that love unfolds or the perspective of family or the American dream or what that actually looked like. And so when we talk about words and understanding that there's power, it's like the music paired with the that actually will propel people into action. If there's a tune in your head and it's a good, like, lighthearted riddle, right? You're gonna be playing those words out of your mind and also in your life. And if it's something that is actually detracting, it's why, the generations to come, they're listening to some wild music. And they're also experiencing anxiety and depression and suicidal ideation at ages I didn't even know what that meant. How can we, as a follower of Christ, like, how can we be the example to infuse that in earlier to children, giving them access to this type of music over what is sacrally normal?
Man, that's a good question. I think my eyes were opened up this past year. I went and did a this eighth grade retreat. There's a little Christian school in Arkansas, and my dad's been speaking at it. My dad's been a pastor, college pastor, for 40, 50 years, whatever. And he was doing it, and he was like, hey, why don't you come down, lead worship for it? And I was like, sure. I did it a lot when I was in college, and so it was nostalgic. It was like, hey, we're gonna go
Yeah,
back.
that's awesome.
Do I was
Yeah,
like, so
you got to do
we
that.
go back.
Humility.
Yeah. And I'm sitting there with these eighth graders, man, and I just felt like, all right, hey, I just want to create a space. Like, we're gonna sing some songs, but we're gonna just play through moments. And if you have something you want to stand up and share, just stand up and share. And man, like one kid after another just started standing up and just sharing about struggles with pornography, struggles with suicidal thoughts, trying to commit suicide. And these were eighth graders. It was like, this was stuff that I was like, I just can't even imagine that this is where we're at. But what I was like just blown away by was by their honesty. And I think that was the most encouraging thing to me of going, Yes, there's a lot of troubles right now, and our this generation that's coming up is struggling. But there are some really good things where this generation is really honest, and it feels like they're really, when they're given the opportunity to dig in and to have moments of change, they tend to change for the good. And I just want to believe that there is hope in that, and that if we create enough spaces for people to choose good, then good is going to win. And we just have to believe it. And we have to, I have to believe that for my own kids.
Yeah,
I got to believe
absolutely.
that good is going to win.
Yeah, it's
And
good.
so that's, I'm just about creating spaces for people to find the good and for people to see the good.
It's powerful. Yeah, knowing the discrepancy between age of like an 11-year-old and a 4-year-old. I mean, that's like
Yeah.
it feels like big when you're the parent, but it's really big generationally too. I have
Yeah.
a 8 and a 9-year-old, so they're kind of like neck and neck in that realm. But I've got nieces and nephews that are ahead of that, and nieces and nephews that are behind that. And it's wild, the huge variability. I think about the generation when we grew up, and it might be different based on how you were raised, but mental health wasn't a conversation. Depression and
No.
anxiety, you hid that. Nobody talked about that. You just either got a medicine or you didn't get a medicine, because then that would be hated on too. It was
Yep.
just everything was under lock and seal. And so the power of storytelling through song, through music, allows us to open up in that sense of transparency and gives other people that same authentic ability, right?
Yeah, 100%.
I would
100%.
love, I could see, like, as you're talking, even as they were standing up to vocalize those things, is learning to be able to write music and then being able to just push that out in sound, and the stories that are going to come from that generation is something that if we can unlock sooner than later, like, golly, they could be the music makers happening right now versus like waiting
100%.
until their big break, you know?
I mean, we keep seeing revival breaking out all over this country. It's
So
like,
true.
what could happen with this next one that's coming up? Of going, man, just the things that could happen. I just see possibility.
So true.
I'm just seeing possibility.
It's so good. So I'd love to know, David, as you are on the road doing all the things, are there any like qualms that you're like, man, y'all think we're living the good life out here? They were laughing because Kane's got 3 kids. I think they're all at right around the age of one, and they're
Oh
on
yeah.
the road with y'all. What are the things about being on the road that like you would rather not be on the road? Because I think that the high life, the lifestyle of the rich and the famous, whatever that means, right? People create this facade. Give us the
Yeah.
raw, give us the real of that. I mean, you kind of mentioned it a bit about missing home and just being homesick in that regard, wanting to be in two
Yeah.
places at once.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, I think it's the waking up in a different town that you have no idea where you are every day. Simply walking into a church, which is really weird for the conscious, because you're just waking up and walking in a church. The majority of the time in your pajamas and everyone's staring at you. I shower probably one time a week, that's always a win. I don't know, it's not that glamorous out here. So
Do you guys eat? Like, do you guys eat out all the time? I'm so curious. Or you eat the
no,
ramen? Is that what that's for? The ramen's for you? We need to have a heart to heart.
I didn't want to say it, but you caught me. You caught me. This is my own personal supply of ramen that I ask for every day. My green room is filled with 47,000 boxes of ramen every day. That's why we have the trailer, the tractor trailer. The tractor trailer is only filled with ramen. It's not
Just
filled with
ramen,
meat.
only ramen,
Yeah.
and you get all your burned calories of all the salt intake on stage each night.
Yeah, that's right. Now we have caterers out with us, like that they're
Oh,
out with us the whole
cool.
tour. So we're eating good. Like
Good.
it's legit. It's
That's awesome.
that is a perk that has been really, really amazing. That doesn't happen on every tour, so.
Sure, I bet. What about like working out and stuff? Are you able to get like time in? I know stage is burning calories. Is that something you're passionate about?
Yeah, we get some time. I get to go play golf pretty often. So it's like
Cool.
anytime I can just get out, I just have to get
Yeah.
out and kind of get some time. But yeah, every day's different. It's like it has its own set of challenges. So we either find a basketball court or something, and we'll
Cool.
get active. But A lot of days it's just we walk around these places, you know, for 8 hours. So
Gosh. So seeing
my
people is
watch is
sometimes
telling me,
really exciting.
oh yeah. Well, my watch is like, you've done, you know,
20,000
400,000 steps.
steps.
Yeah. It's like,
So
I think
good.
I'm good. I think I'm good.
That's incredible. I wanted to give people some context to truth connected to what we can sometimes see, especially from the photography and videography that you guys have on hand. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
How's your orange wardrobe?
My orange wardrobe's fine. I would say my yellow wardrobe is lacking.
Okay, yellow. Taking note.
That's my least favorite night.
Next time I go thrifting, I'm going to send you some yellow.
Please, I've tried, man. I've Amazoned, I've thrifted, I have anything.
That's awesome. As you can see from the color explosion behind me, I love a good palette. I love some color. So when they said orange, I went with my team and they were like, "Oh gosh, Tamara's going to want to participate in this. Like this is not going to be good." And everyone showed up and showed out in their orange and it was so awesome. I think that the way that the show opened in that regard was really powerful for people to
Yeah.
see like everyone talks about like we all bleed red, but to see everyone from the exterior all in orange, I'm like, that's a whole nother perspective of visual learning, right?
And that whole video that they do, man, is so
Yeah.
clever and so thought out of going, hey, we're all here, but it doesn't mean anything. It just means that we're here. Like I was just blown away the first time I heard that, and I was like, oh, this is gonna be a good tour. When it's
So
like
much
when you're down
creativity.
to the like every detail so thought of, so
It like I've said, it's unlike anything I've ever been to. And I go to a lot of things. And that one,
yeah.
I was pooling. I'm a conference host. And so I was thinking about, gosh, we have to incorporate that. We have to incorporate that. I mean, there were so many different things that really pulled to the different like emotional ties that we can
Yeah.
have and allow. I mean, you saw the people in the audience. There is people of all age spectrum,
Yeah.
denominational backgrounds. I mean, it was just, I was in that Baptist church and I'm like, I haven't been in a Baptist church in a while. This is new. Like this is new, but it was so rich. It was so good. I want to shift a little bit more here because one of the things in your bio that I know is true. Everybody has it, and you kind of touched on it briefly as you were coming up, whether it was in your family, whether it was just in situational things that unfolded in your life. How has some of your like hardest trials or traumas been a part of your now purpose?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, me and my wife struggled with infertility stuff for years and years, with our first kid, and then after that, we struggled for 4 years trying to get pregnant again, had a miscarriage and all that kind of stuff. And the first solo record that I did called The Weight was basically all of that. You know, it was I took every emotion and every feeling that I had during that season. And I wrote about it. And yeah, it's hard for me to hide what's going on in my life, good or bad. You know, I think it's to a fault. I have learned to cope by writing songs about the things that God's walking me through. And but I feel like those are the things that have connected the most with people. And I think I have to believe that the hard stuff that we walk through is hope for other people. And so yeah, I hold on to it and tend to write about it often. And yeah,
It's
I
like the
just
people who are in your life, you're like, please don't write about me. It's like when I go to write a book, and they're like, please don't put my name in that
I
one.
know, don't put my name in there. Yeah.
Don't
The
put this
names and faces have
situation.
been changed. Names have been changed for the good of all people. Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, man, David, it's been so good just to spend time with you. I know you got so much going on, just to take that time out. And I feel like I won. I was supposed to win, I guess, swag or something at the table for sending that DM. And I'm like, man, this is so much better. So
It's
thank you
even
so
better.
much. It really is. It's so
Yeah.
good. I want my community. We've got a community of prayer warriors, people who just love the Lord with all their heart. I want them to be able to pray for you guys. Is there any way, like specifically, that we can be praying for you all?
Yeah, I
Protection?
mean, yeah, health, protection, travel, safeties, families at home, all that kind of stuff. That's a big deal. You know, I also, only because I'm being, I felt prompted to say this, but me and a buddy of mine that we produce and we do all these records, we're working on a new studio. We're building a new studio. Mm-hmm. We bought a church in downtown Franklin that we're turning into a studio. And we're about to get that rolling, but like just prayer for that to go smoothly. So and just a lot of dreams that are happening right now, and would love real people that pray real things to lift it up. So
that's so good. I'm so excited for you. I'm obviously my entrepreneurial brain over here. I'm like, okay, so what's the studio? Do you already, is it a specific record? Is it a new label? Is it just any label can come and record? I'm so curious.
Yeah. Yeah, so I produce for a lot of different artists, you know, all through Christian music, from Cody Carnes, Brandon Lake, all these people all over. And so we've had the studio for years and years in downtown Franklin, little house.
Yeah.
And we just outgrew it and found this church. And
so cool.
Now we're here. So we're building it out and hope that it's going to be a place that a lot of people are touched by the sounds that come out of it.
So cool. That's incredible. Well, we will absolutely be covering you all in that and celebrating when it comes to fruition in the fullness of what it will. And I'm just really, really honored to spend time with you and so excited for what you guys are going to continue to do on tour. I know you guys are all the way through August, right? That this particular one is?
Well, through May.
Through May. Yeah. Oh, for summer. Yeah. Oh, maybe I was on your site. Are you going somewhere through August?
Yeah, we just got dates.
We always got stuff we're going. You guys got a lot of dates. Well, you guys can also support David on his site. If you can't get to one of the concerts, they've got some rad swag that you can indulge in. And any other ways, especially following on social, any other ways that we can support you, we're going to be doing so. I am just so honored to spend time with you and lifting you up, brother.
Thanks, you too.
Hey y'all, it's me again. Before you go, let's solidify the flame that was ignited within you today by sharing the spark with your own community. Whether it's mentally, physically, emotionally, relationally, or spiritually, I would love for you to take the step right now by declaring your takeaway. Snap a pic of the episode and share it on your stories or posts, and you can tag me and the guest, and we will surely feature you on our Instas. Hey, you may even unlock a new accountability buddy in me or them. We're totally in this together and we appreciate the extra step taken. I would be so grateful if you even took the extra step. Come on, give me that extra sauce and leave a review on iTunes for the podcast listening app that is of your choice. I'm going to be featuring your thoughts, in fact, and it's going to be so fun in upcoming episodes. So you'll not only hear your name on the show, but maybe even your passion project or whatever big shout out you want me to make. So please, as a fellow writer, leave some words that I can attest to, and I can't wait to read what you have to say. Thanks again for being a loyal listener, and I hope to meet you in person soon at one of the events that we are speaking at or hosting. And I say we because the Fit and Fake team could not do this without you. Until next time, blessings over your joy, health, wealth, and wholeness. This is the Fit and Faith Way.